My pleasure, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? Hope you're doing well.
Oh, okay. Everything is good. I'm still covering games from the studio, but we're doing the best we can.
And you are doing the best you can, no question. All right, so let's. It's been an interesting week with the bone play at home plate and the Michael Conforto elbow in the strike zone. What are your thoughts on each of those two plays? One's reviewable, one is not. But what were your thoughts on both those plays?
Well, the umpires got them wrong both times, and that's unfortunate. Now, I am very much a pro-umpires guy on the tiniest level possible. I umpired a million games when I was younger. I like to think I understand how difficult the job is, and the umpires do a great job, period. But the Conforto play, he clearly was hit by a pitch that while he was in the strike zone, and it was actually for a split second called a strike, and the umpires made a mistake. They should have gotten together, as they did, and someone should have said to Ron Culpa, the home plate umpire, I saw that as a strike. I saw him in the strike zone. But the biggest problem with the play is it's not reviewable, and all
yes.
we care about is getting everything right. And the rules should make that play reviewable. If we're going to review a guy stealing second and taking his foot off the bag for a millionth of a second, then we should have a rule in place where we can review whether a guy actually leaned into a pitch and got hit by a strike. That's a strike, and it should have been a strike out there. So that was my concern with that. The umpire should not have allowed that to happen. As for the Alec Bohm play, I watched it live. I thought he was safe. I thought he had beaten the play. But I'm watching it on TV, and it's close. It's bang-bang. But the replays, I thought, clearly showed that Alec Bohm never touched the plate. Therefore, he should have been called out. But they looked at every angle, and they still called him safe. And I'm not sure why. And I think they got that one wrong, too. So that just tells me replay is fallible, and we have to make it better.
Yeah, I broadcast the Penn State-Indiana football game, Tim. So I can tell you, I personally think replays, there's some issues along the way. First of all, I'm in complete agreement with you on the umpires, or really any official. They have so many calls that are bang-bang in real time that are correct. That my admiration for them is off the charts. It doesn't mean they get everything right, because you and I don't get everything right. But I think that when I look at what the job they do, it's really hard, and they're really good at it.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's the problem here, is that, you know, a very wise friend of mine who lives in Washington, D.C., who's deeply involved in politics, says we have a saying here in Washington, when you try to make something perfect, you might not even make it better. And that's part of the problem with replay. Look, I understand we have to get calls right, but you're opening up a box when you have a replay system. And if you're going to have a replay system, it has to work exceptionally well every single night, or else people are going to be upset about it. And that was the case here. Because when people have the technology that we have to see the plays that the umpire sees, and we can look at it 100 times over, that's where the problems come in. And Twitter doesn't help things when 10 million people get on Twitter and say, how could you miss that call? I just don't know how in the replay system they couldn't see that he didn't touch home plate. And that's the problem with that play.
Right, exactly right. All right, so early season in this season, certain guys have been hurt, Fernando Tatis Jr., for example. What has been a theme early that has interested you so far?
Well, we've had some teams that we did not expect to be any good who have won a bunch of games already. The Reds are the highest-scoring team in baseball, and they were not supposed to be a particularly good team this year. the Orioles swept to the Red Sox right out of the gate, and that certainly wasn't supposed to happen. And then, of course, the Red Sox, who looked so terrible the first three games, have now won six games in a row. So it's just another reminder what Brian Snitker, the manager of the Braves, told me. He said, I hate the beginning of the season. I hate it because everything is so magnified, good or bad, that people get so out of shape about things. They overreact on so many things because the Braves lost their first four, then won their next four. So I think that's just another reminder. We need to give a 162-game season a chance to find its rhythm and not get too hot or bothered about anything this early, because we've had a lot of surprises. But this is baseball. That's the beauty of the sport. Yeah. It rarely ever follows any sort of script.
Well, something that hasn't followed script always has been Aaron Judge. Boy, when he plays, it's not just the home runs, but I love how he plays defense, angles, his arm. But he's not in the lineup all the time. When you look at him, Tim, what are you seeing as a player, and what about the recurring injuries?
Well, he's a really, really good player, and he's wildly athletic, and he really cares, and he really tries. But he's really big, too, and it's not a game built for somebody who's 6'7", 282 pounds. I've done all the research on really tall hitters, and it's a very, very short list of guys 6'6", or taller who have had really good major league careers. And baseball is a very simple game in order to get injured. And because it's such a skill sport that if you break a finger, you can't play baseball. If you can't run, you can't play baseball. And Aaron Judge has had his share, even though he's as big, as strong a guy as you'll ever see. But I would be a little worried about his injuries. He's, he hasn't played more than 112 games since 2017, and that's a problem. But I don't think what he has now, which he's playing through, is anything major, and I don't think this is anything to particularly worry about. But the Yankees can't make the playoffs, I don't believe, this year unless he's good and plays all the time. And one of the great underrated parts of our best players is durability. Are you able to go out there all the time? And Aaron Judge has had a hard time doing that, but he's still too young and too athletic for me to say, all right, this is a real problem. He's going to get hurt every year for the rest of his life. I'm not going there yet.
Now about Shohei Ohtani. Obviously, contrary to popular belief, I was not alive when Ruth played, so I can't get into that part of it. When you watch somebody that can throw 101 and hit one 421, what are we seeing in him?
Well, we're seeing a once-in-a-generation player. I mean, Babe Ruth was really the last guy that did anything like this, but even Babe Ruth in his own right just wasn't pitching every fifth day and playing another position while he was pitching. He still pitched after he gave up pitching, but it was irregular. He wasn't in a regular rotation. So what Ohtani's doing really has never quite been done like he's trying to do it. And if you can hit a ball that's thrown 100 miles an hour and the exit velocity is over 100 miles an hour and you can throw 100 miles an hour, you're the only one in the game that really can do that. And that's why I think he is a physical freak, and I think they should try to play him on both sides, let him pitch and let him hit when he's not pitching, or even when he is, and just see how it goes. Now, his health, of course, is the most important thing. Right. If he keeps getting hurt, you can't let him do both. But as long as he can stay healthy, he is such a weapon in both ways that I say ride this out until he says, I can't do this anymore, or until he gets hurt enough where you say, all right, this doesn't make any sense. But we haven't seen anyone like him. Let's keep watching it until it doesn't work anymore.
And part of that him not working is the fact that, and this happens to pitchers, it's not because he's doing both, but he missed his last start with a blister problem. Are the Angels concerned that it could be a recurring problem?
Well, blisters are always tricky. And, Jim Palmer explained to me a long time ago what the field needed to throw a baseball, to spin a curveball, throw a slider the right way. If one of your fingers simply isn't working because you have an enormous cut on it from a blister, you can't be an effective pitcher. And sometimes those blisters come back. Guys have been dealing with that forever. I don't think this is anything major, but it can be recurring because just when you think, all right, he's over the blister, it tears open again, and there goes his effectiveness or some of it as a pitcher. So I'm not going to get worried about one blister, but with more and more injuries to all of our pitchers, it's something you always got to keep your eye on.
Finally, Tim, obviously it seems like it's a week-by-week basis, but has ESPN given you guys any idea when they might open the door to letting everybody back in the ballpark to work games?
Well, we're hoping and we're guessing after the All-Star break we'll hopefully be back in Major League ballparks. Now, look, I'm the happiest guy in the world that I get to cover baseball, whether it's from my home or from a studio or from the ballpark, but there is no substitute for being at the ballpark. So I can't wait. I love the way I get to do my job now, but I can't do it as well unless I'm at the park. I wander around and talk to as many players, coaches, managers as I can, and without that freedom, I'm not doing the same job. But we're hoping that things are going to clear by this summer, and it's going to be safe and open for all sorts of broadcasters and writers to go to the ballpark safely. And I'm hoping that day comes sooner rather than later.
We hope so too. Tim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your valuable time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.